Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning to you, you breath of fresh air.
We're recording a bit early. Instead of Monday morning, we're recording Sunday morning, the morning of BugCon, actually. So
that's right.
When this gets released, BugCon will have been, what's like a triumphant way to end things? We'll be celebrating the parade.
Huge victory.
The victory lap will parade, be complete.
Yeah. We will keep you guys posted next week as to how it went.
Is there a parade? There should be a parade.
There should be
next
a parade.
Year.
And we, if all goes well, we will be releasing the episode of the live taping of BugCon, which is an audience Q&A, which we've already talked about.
Yeah.
If all goes well, it might not.
Fucks it up.
Yeah, it might not go well. I'm very excited, though. I'm leaving town again.
You're going to Philly on Monday.
That's right. Norm, are you excited for independent Norm to come back?
So when this episode comes out, you'll not only will BugCon be done, parade and all, but you'll be in Philadelphia.
That's right. What are you going to do without me this time?
Here's the thing.
Other than thrive.
Yes, thrive. I mean, and I talked when I picked you up at the airport last time, I had a little brief conversation about that. I'm used to being alone.
Yeah.
I'm good at it.
You're very good at it.
Yeah. And yeah, I get a lot of stuff done.
Yeah. And I'm a distraction.
And don't forget, a bad influence.
I'm a bad influence. This is something Norm and I figured out this week, is that all the bad stuff that we partake in is all my initiation.
Yeah.
I love being bad to the bone. I love to party. I love to throw myself just out there and give up and what have you, blow up some steam, I keep saying.
Right.
And I don't feel bad about it for 1 second.
No, you
it's
don't.
A test for your strength, Norm. Can you resist?
I can't resist. But unfortunately, it's like I like being alone.
Wow.
I do.
Okay.
I do whatever I want.
And you feel I restrict you in real life because I want you to text me all your movements.
That's right.
From within the house.
Yeah.
I just want to know where you are, what you're doing, and how you feel about it.
But, you know, obviously it's like, you know, you and I have a pretty cool time. Yeah,
it's cool.
We are bad sometimes and we let loose and we watch movies and we have a laugh.
We have a massive laugh.
But yeah, you know, I also told you this, like when you were gone or, you know, not that this happened when you were gone, but if I only had like a loaf of sliced bread, I would eat that for every meal. Like,
and I'm getting in the way of your bread.
Not, you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about.
Wait, Norm, I didn't check in with how you do feel in terms of your self-esteem scale of 1 to 10. How you feeling this morning? New morning to record. New freedom.
New morning.
New independent you back on the rise by the time this comes out.
Yeah, I guess I'm a 5. I'm neutral.
Nice and neutral. Okay, I'll take it.
Say it like that.
That's how you say it.
Neutral. Is a brand of milk.
If anyone does want to sponsor us, milk-based or cream-based, do let us know. Tweet at Self-Esteem Party, hashtag creamy.
Yeah, all those cream employee listeners. Convince your boss who owns the cream factory to...
Cream for me.
Yeah.
Oh, that should be a good campaign. Our guest this week.
I love that you like you have other advertisements on this, but you don't want them.
None of them are cream based.
You want the cream folks.
I want the cream folks.
Actually, you should get Philadelphia cream cheese because you'll be in Philly.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Cheese.
Yeah, well, of course.
Don't mind if I do. Our guest this week also bounced around on the charts in terms of self-esteem. It was a whirlwind.
I was like, the music charts?
What? Yeah, the music charts.
Did Paul all of a sudden become the bass player of Rush?
He is a Grammy Award winner. No, he's not. But he's so much more than that. We got into a really good social media chat.
Oh, that's interesting.
And, well, I'm going to tell you this. It's like, it has its perks, but oh my God, is it?
It has its perks.
Sure, like, a, you know, to spy on people keep tabs of
social
exes
media
if you need
has
to.
Its perks.
Yeah, social media has its perks, but oh my God, dude. We really get into it about the self-harm it truly causes.
You know, Paul is like a Toronto comedy legend.
He is such a legend, yeah. And he holds up, let me tell you this.
You know, he was the main writer on the Discovery Channel show I did?
No, really?
Yeah, he was like him and his writing partner.
Are you upset that I didn't have you on the episode?
No, I don't care.
Okay, that sorts that. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Paul Bates right after this break. It's a self-esteem body.
It's a self-esteem body. Perfect. That was perfect on
perfect.
My end. I don't know how it looked for you, but it was perfect on mine.
You know what, Paul? You and I are perfect. The podcast is off to a massive start. I don't know about you, but I'm 10 out of 10 based on the clap slate alone.
Yeah, 10 out of 10, baby. 10 out of 10. That felt good. That picked me up. That literally picked my day up. From maybe, I was going to say, I'll bet my day was probably a 6 until that clap happened. And to just know that I'm in sync with somebody on the other end of the country, like other end of the continent, that felt amazing.
Wow, this is going to be our shortest episode yet. We solved self-esteem.
Well, thanks for having me. Good luck. Good luck with the rest of the podcast. And
it's going to be a struggle. I'll be referring back to this episode, of course, in terms of advice that people need. I'll be like, well, check out the first 10 seconds and then just kind of tune out after that. Paul, thank you so much for shedding some high self-esteem light on us and for being on the podcast. Previous to the clap slate, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say your self-esteem was today?
Today, I pulled 6 out of the air earlier, and I'm going to stand by that. I felt like a 6 this morning. I'm pausing for a sec just to turn off the fan in my house, because it comes up on my audio.
We're going to leave off this part in.
Oh, God. Okay, so now I was at a 10. As I was at a 10, now my it's dropped down to, like, I'm going to say a 4 now. I was at a 6.
So you've gone, 6 to 10 to 4.
This is a roller coaster ride. This is
I told you, I need to get people in their raw audio. This is the point of the podcast.
Oh, my God. Okay, the sound is better here. There's no white noise anymore. So now I'm inching back up to a 5. Like, there's going to be, I'm going to keep a line graph, basically, of my self-esteem throughout the path.
Throughout the episode. This is the first episode where we're going to have to track it minute by minute, just to see how you're feeling per sentence, per idea. We got to keep on top of this.
Real-time self-esteem tracker.
So you said a six this morning.
A 6 this morning. And here's why. Because I have been terrible at just moving forward. The internet feels like a trap to me these days. I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I'm sure this is nothing new. But, like, my eyes hurt. I've just been locked in to useless shit on the internet, and I can't pull away, even when I know I have things to do, and that made me feel a little shitty about myself this morning. Am I okay to say swear and stuff?
Yes,
on this?
We love to swear. Say fuck the rules. you know, the rules of online.
Yeah.
Here's something I associate with social media when it gets me feeling a little down, like you're describing. For some reason, I associate it with a sense of weakness, almost like I have succumbed to the garbage that is online society. It's like, it makes me feel gross sometimes. Like, you want happy posts. Those are always fun. You want real posts to read about opinions, but somehow I don't know what I'm getting caught up in the middle, but it is not working for me.
and so often, it's somebody else's bullshit. You pop into Twitter and you see some online fight somebody else is having. You pick a side, and then you're coming up with arguments in your head all day. But you're not gonna debase yourself by actually posting those, because you don't want to. It's weird to get involved with somebody else's fight, but you're still thinking about it all day long.
Yeah, I guess that really fully describes the inability to move forward, because it's like moving past something that didn't even happen and isn't going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I don't know these people.
It's not gonna. I've seen you online. You don't engage. I'm not seeing you in the fights. I follow you.
But I have so many fights in my head. I have so many imaginary fights.
Okay, what would you say is the thing on Twitter that gets to you most? If there's a genre of tweet or a person in particular, but like, what do you think really eats away at you?
Okay, let me think about this.
It's a tough question because there's so much.
Well, Twitter in particular is a bit of like an outrage meat grinder, right? It's just like, it's this outrage machine that seems to be like the most traveled and amplified stuff are angry takes. And sometimes I feel bombarded by that on my feed, and it's nobody's fault in particular, because someone might just be doing, you know, one here and somebody else might be doing one there, but on my feed it's just an avalanche of it. I feel like I start to react against the outrage, even if it's causes that I personally agree with.
Okay.
Right? Because like there's a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot of social problems, there's economic problems, and every week there's a new outrage du jour, and it flips, the story flips, and I feel like I'm just like, even though I fundamentally agree and support these causes, I'm just like, stop, I don't want to hear about it anymore. Does that make me an asshole? I'm not trying to say I don't care about these causes, but I'm like, wait, I thought you were standing up for this other cause last week, and now you've forgotten about that, and you're on to this? You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like I'm just being reflexive. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. It's the anger behind everything really stresses me out, because people are carrying that with them throughout the day. And knowing that people are doing it about multiple things at all times, to me, is really stressful. I'm stressed out for them.
Right.
And if it stresses me out, like you're saying, and I too do not engage in things. I think I was in one Twitter troll situation, and it made me like sick to my stomach. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, I can't stand the engaging of a hater. I can't do it. I cannot do it.
Oh yeah.
And it's so nasty, and everybody gets so mean, and it gets so personal, and it's like, or it's people like, I mean, putting out facts with the old response of actually, like if something starts with an actually, you're in massive trouble.
Yes.
You're in massive trouble.
It's true. It's
true.
It
drives me crazy.
And sometimes I want to comment, and then I'm like, wait, am I saying actually right now? And then I'm like,
yes.
I'm not going to say anything. Because everyone's on their own journey, right? And in a way, I feel like Twitter is a dump, because people get to dump their feelings here. Because I think that, you know, the lucky ones are able to just dump their outrage on Twitter and then live their lives without worrying about it. But the problem is that the rest of us eat that outrage and have to carry it with us, because we read it. Somebody dumped it, but we ingested it and are forced to carry it and carry that stress that somebody placed there on the internet for the rest of us.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting to a place too online where it's like, it's starting to make me feel like a bad person, or like I'm wrong about things. Like when there is a really strong opinion, I'm like, am I bad for not having thought that thought on my own? Or am I bad for disagreeing with this? Like, I feel like morally I'm kind of getting dragged right now. I'm letting myself get dragged because I'm creating all these what ifs in my head and self-judgment. But I hate that, like, I'm knowingly doing that to myself every day I engage in social media. And it's on all of them, on all platforms. It's just Twitter happens to be the one with, like, the most amount of, like, articles, and news clips. So it really lures you in.
I'm so glad that the one social media platform in which you are restricted in how many letters and words you can write is the one where we're forced to try and encapsulate our points of view on the entire world. Like, yes. There's no room for nuance, and so everything has to be a hard rhetorical take. And you're right. You're right for feeling dragged morally, and I feel the same way, and I'm sure everybody does, because there's no space or time on that platform for us to actually explore the 100 feelings about any given topic. And instead, we have to force out just one hard one that's going to be easy to read, swallow, and amplify.
Yeah. And there is just so much anger in the air in general. And I get it. We're all frustrated. The pandemic is revving right back up, and it never even went away in the first place. And it's like people are tired of the fear. It's making them angry. It's making them lash out. And it's like, I am overall anxious for the world right now. It feels like we're all about to blow.
Yeah.
And some people are.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all like, so many of us are isolated, and it's easy to, it's easy to change the way you have discourse if you are just in your own space alone and you're having less real human contact and more just inhuman contact online with people with whom you can't really relate. You're just playing this game where you're throwing things at each other, which again is why I try not to engage, because like I have a hard enough time articulating my opinions on something in person. Like, I feel like I need to take a good half an hour, you know?
We had to sit half an hour before recording.
Yeah.
Well, you just sorted it out.
I know. Yeah. 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 So, please don't ask me what I thought of Fleabag ever again. It took me too long to put that all together.
Yeah, that took up most of your pandemic, was trying to really solidify how you felt about it.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. My wife just told me about it, and I was like, how do I feel about this?
Honestly, that is the way to give an opinion. Without the facts. I was going to say, too, it's people you don't know that well, too, online. Like, if you're saying it already takes you a lot in person, when it's someone you don't know, to me, it takes, I guess for some people, it makes them more comfortable because they're like, who gives a shit? And for me, it makes me more uncomfortable because I'm like, I can't explain myself or ask the questions that I want to get to the facts of the situation. Like, in person, you can have a discussion about something, but on Twitter, it's an attack.
Yeah. And then you get to the point of like, well, why do I care about sharing this if I don't even know this person? Why am I working so hard to articulate how I feel? Sometimes I just want to say how I feel about something on Twitter, and I get halfway through, and then I ask myself why I'm even doing it. Like, isn't it good enough that I just know how I feel about it, period? Like, does anyone really need to know what my thoughts are on any given subject? I know I'm being intentionally vague on what subjects. Is this like, I'm not trying to make it about anything, you know what I mean? But this is my day-to-day on Twitter, you know? Issues, I guess it's good to learn about issues as long as I'm hearing about something or from someone with expertise. But there's something about the internet that forces me to feel, like, makes me feel obligated to have a stance and make that stance known, which I don't like.
Right. Yeah. No, there's a lot of pressure. And like, so if I were to say to you, how would it feel to take a day off once a week? Because I had one of my guests, Nick Weigert, unplugs for one day a week.
Oh.
And he said it like changed the game for him. What's your initial thought when I say that to you? Because for me, it's stress. It's stress that I'm going to miss something that's important. So I get stressed out thinking about an entire day of unplugging. But what about you?
Well, for me, the internet, I think, is more of an addiction. And I would feel the pain of not going on, even though going on is a mostly empty empty feeling, and empty, like, it's not a gratifying response, and yet I need to do it. So it would be difficult, although I have done it. I took a year off Twitter last year.
Wow. Oh my God, a whole year.
Yes. And it felt great. I also have left Facebook completely, which also feels great.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
We're not going to be the last ones on Facebook, right? We're not going to let that happen.
I'm not going down with that ship. I'm not doing it.
We're not
going
to be those people. But I took a year off and it's so stupid. I came home from, I think it was the day after I saw the last Star Wars movie, and new fights were emerging on that about Star Wars. And that was it for me. I was just like, I've had enough. I'm not going to be here and sit through another heated Star Wars argument. I quit Twitter. And I left for a year. I gave myself a year off. That was my New Year's resolution, to not go on Twitter.
Wow.
For 2020.
I'm so impressed. Yeah. I'm so impressed that you did it.
Yes. And it felt good. But then it's January 1st. And I was just like, well, it's a new year. I better see what's happening on Twitter. Check my notifications.
Oh, no. And now here we go.
And I just got sucked in hard.
Isn't it like so, to make this about self-esteem for a second, isn't it so insane how torturous social media is and yet we knowingly do it? It's like, it'd be the equivalent of drugs where you're like, this drug makes me feel such a way that's negative. If it makes you feel great, go nuts. But if it has this negative effect on me, or maybe drinking or something like that, it'd be so, you'd be so quick to cut it out, or you would like, you know what I mean? But then it's like social media. It's like, it's out of the question for us. Like,
that's so funny.
And yet it's like, it's self-harm. It's actual like emotional self-harm. And I'm not telling people to get off it, you know? And if you guys are planning on getting off it, please tweet at self-esteem party, # getting off. And we'll find a way to keep you back on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'm into this.
We're going to lure you back in.
I'm into this new drug. What does it do? Oh, it makes you feel bad about yourself. It makes you feel anxious, stressed, and worried.
It's
and
24
angry.
Hours a day. You never come down. Dude, if you present it that way, I mean, that's fucked up. That's messed up.
That is messed up. Yeah, I was talking to a neighbor about podcasts. And because I had listened to another podcast that I really enjoy, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, and he was talking to somebody on that, someone who's really like down on the internet, doesn't like really hate social media, but then but he said that podcasting is one of the truest forms of the promise of the internet, the original promise of the internet, that anybody can get on and do anything. You have your space. You can record your thing and you can send it off into the universe, and it's yours. It's pure. It's yours. And it's there for everybody. And I really liked that. And then my neighbor kind of pointed out that that used to be the whole internet. Not too long ago, you would just go, you'd be like, oh, you got to check out this site. And you'd go to site, you would enter the URL, and you would go there and you would do whatever. And today, websites are standardized in a way. You know, there's a very specific design that we've all become accustomed to. But earlier in our lives, you didn't know where the buttons were going to be or where
it was a free for all. It was like elevators.
And
it was different from building to building.
Yeah. Could you imagine an elevator? Like, the elevators are unique in every single building you go to. How wild would that be? Diagonal elevators. Tower of Terror.
I mean, it's already hard enough to find the buttons. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. But now social media has grabbed all of your interests and put it in one place. And in some ways it's easier. But in other ways it has made a bubble, right? You don't get to see the wide open space of the internet. You only go to three or four different things. You go to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and of course, LinkedIn. You go to LinkedIn because you need to know
what's out there for the old job market.
Yeah, who's got a new a new position, you know? What seminar?
Yeah, I need to know. And I don't even have specifics on LinkedIn. I cast a wide net. I want to know all the jobs. And I like to write each one of them and ask why they haven't reached out to me yet.
Yeah. Just checking.
Hey guys, just doing a swing by. Want to see what you guys are saying over here. Still got the old resume loaded. But yeah, it is the same ones that you check, even though the internet gives us access to absolutely everything, mm-hmm. and we keep it so small, and it's so like, I don't know, it's not necessarily negative, but it's something we all have to like keep rising above and keep going right back into. The how repetitive it is like, I think that's the hard part, because it's like drowning, but it's like you're not getting the hell out of that pool. It's a nightmare.
I gotta stay in the pool. I'm drowning, but I might miss swimming. Something. I might miss something
I might
in the
miss
pool.
Something I have to stay. What if something's at the bottom? I have to dive. Literally, that's what's happening. Oh god. Oh my god. I love that though about podcasting being such a free way of expression, because I will say, one of the only human times I have a week is when I'm recording the podcast. It's like real conversation, not necessarily serious. There's lots of jokes in it as well, and it's very fun and can be light at times. But it's like me at my most genuine. You would never find this version of me on Twitter. So right. Unless you like and subscribe and leave a rating and review, you're mm-hmm. never going to know the real me.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, keep the real Alana alive. Keep her alive and online.
Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.
It means a lot. Listen, speaking of podcasts, tell me about yours. I'm very interested in this and in the catchy name.
Oh, the catchy and very memorable name, The Dubious Book of Famous Deeds. Yes, it's a history podcast based on a 132-year-old book that I found lying in the streets.
Wow.
So this is quite a long time ago that I spotted this book. I was walking through an alley that's near my house, and I found it's such a beautiful book. It's the binding is gorgeous. It's like a deep red with gold trim, and it's the cover is designed in a way that, you know, books are just simply not designed like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was called The Pictorial Treasury of Famous Men and Famous Deeds. It seemed almost comically anachronistic. You know, it's just like everything about it was old, right? The idea of it is old. The patriarchy and the title is not, you know, it's completely from a different time and place. And I was like, this looks cool. We have to bring this home. Christy was immediately annoyed that I pick up garbage. I do this with books a lot. But I was like, no, this is going to look so good in our house. We have to put it on our coffee table and appear erudite. And that didn't even happen. I put it in a bookshelf and forgot about it. Literally forgot about it. But then the pandemic happened and it was time to clean out the bookshelf. And I found this again, and I finally opened it and started reading it. And the chapters are absurd. There's the names of the men are, like, I would say 90% not famous at all, like not known at all. The deeds are questionable. Some of the chapters don't have deeds at all.
This is a huge book review.
Oh, huge. The first chapter, so I started reading it. The first chapter was Shakespeare. And I was like, these guys have, first of all, a lot of balls to write a chapter about Shakespeare without really focusing on the plays at all. It was just about his life and him growing up. And one of the things they wrote was, you know, in his youth, you know, he got in trouble because he would poach deers. He would steal deers from his neighbor's yard. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that about Shakespeare. And somebody caught him and he was charged. But he thought the fine was too heavy, it was too steep. So in retaliation, he wrote a sonnet burning the guy who prosecuted against him. So the guy who owns the deer, Shakespeare essentially dropped a diss track laying in on this guy. He was run out of town because the guy was like, how dare you? I'll prosecute you twice as much. And charged him again. Shakespeare could not afford the fine, and he fled to London. He fled, leaving his wife and infant son.
Oh, my God.
Now, the authors of this chapter spend the rest of the chapter trying to make the case that he was not a deadbeat, but in fact, a very good father, even though he had completely left and fucked off to London.
Wait, so that was the deed? Is he was a good father?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Good guy. Good citizen, and, you know, took care of his neighbors and his family. And it is all, and then so it's like, you read that, and you're like, wait, I have never heard about any of this in my life. And you figure, Shakespeare having the impact on society that he does, that if he was a deer thief, you would at least see, I don't know, a Tom Stoppard play about it or something. And so I looked it up, and none of that happened. That's all a made-up story that that these guys just kind of wrote and put in. And so it didn't take, like, one page in, I could tell that this entire book was full of shit.
One page.
So the podcast is chapter by chapter, reading, you know, not the whole chapter because it's long, but sharing a chapter with a guest, a funny and talented, you know, friend or comedian, and together tearing apart the chapter and finding out the real story and having fun with it.
I love this idea. I cannot believe this epic book and what it's led to.
I
mean, the thing about a podcast, and I know that's like, it's obviously a very comical premise for a podcast, but it's still a little nerve-wracking to put yourself out there, because it's not like back in the day with a live audience where you could read the crowd. It's like, you have no clue what reaction you're getting from the listeners on this podcast. So I commend you for taking such a specific topic and truly making it sound like an absolute delight.
It is so niche.
This Shakespeare story is so good. I love this.
It's wild. And it's so much. It wouldn't be as crazy if the people who wrote this book weren't taking the hard stance that this guy is unimpeachable in his morals and values, just because he's William Shakespeare. Found, you know, and then I went online and started reading about it, and I found this essay that, you know, talks about the idea of bard washing and bardolatry, removing anything bad about Shakespeare so that you can just present him as this paragon of morals, and he just wasn't. There's just no evidence that he was, right? There's evidence that he is basically, in the end, upper middle class dude who looked out for himself first and might not have given a shit about his neighbors whatsoever, which is, you know, many artists today.
I mean, listen, I'm going to say this. I bet you he was walking around acting like a 10 out of 10, but deep down, he was probably more of a 2 or 3. You can hear that pain.
Yep, 100%. You know what I mean? Yep.
I know he's getting with the gals. We saw getting with gals, who knows, getting with guys, getting with absolutely anyone that he can because he's Shakespeare. But it's like...
filling a void.
You think that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. And it's like, I mean, you got to look at like celebrities now. It's like... don't get me wrong. I love having sex. Sure, toss a couple people in there. Why not? But it's like, at the same time, I'm like, you know, we're so busy pumping here and dumping. You know, what's really going on in there?
Oh,
you gotta ask yourself.
Oh, sad Shakespeare just before last call in London, talking to the youngest actress, saying, you know, I'd love to write a sonnet for you to perform. Maybe... you know, I could direct you in
it. I would totally get caught up in it, telling everybody about the big sonnet, and he said it's going to be one of the better sonnets. Of course. Paul, here's a question for you. Have you always been into history? Do you like a lot of history?
No, I don't know if I do.
Wow, so really just the book.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was, not long ago... I had, do you know Lindsay Mullen?
Do I?
I don't know if she's on your podcast before or not. Anyway, she's an actor, comedian here, and we were having a discussion, and I said that if I was ever, I'm married, of course, so I'm not on Tinder, but if I was on Tinder, not that being married precludes one from being on Tinder. I understand how it works, but,
if you guys want the profile, make the profile.
If my profile at the time I was saying, if I had a dating app profile, it would say, incurious and unambitious. and that was my, that was kind of like my opinion of myself earlier. I was just like, I have a very hard time being curious about stuff. And I remember in university thinking I should take a history class, because in high school, I think I was interested in history, but then I was like, well, I don't know, this could be a lot of reading. And I didn't get into history, I think specifically because of what I assumed was a heavy, heavy workload. And I was not, I did not read a lot in my university years. So now I feel like this is one way in which this podcast has connected to self-esteem. I am finding, I'm awakening a curiosity within myself to actually want to spend the time to follow up, do some research, and find out about the topics of this book.
I love that. I love that the podcast has helped develop a new skill or redevelop an old skill. Oh my God, that's like such a heartfelt thing about a very funny, silly podcast based on a book you found in an alley.
Yeah, that's oddly specific.
It's like when you say the full facts, it's like, when you really lay it out there, you're like, okay, I guess you should have a podcast about this since it means so much to you.
It is truly been a really good thing for me to do in the pandemic because A, it gave me things to read, things to look up, something to do that wasn't video games. The work has been slow. And then it gave me somebody to talk to week after week, somebody I haven't seen, even though we might be in the same city, somebody to connect with the way that we're connecting with each other. This is like, these moments are just it's like gratifying and fulfilling as much as just like, you know, the feeling one gets on stage and playing with somebody.
Yeah. With community. And it's, I've said this so many times on the podcast, it's like, this has been saving my social life and like saving my like mental stability in terms of feeling any sense of normal to things. Because it's like, for example, us talking right now, and of course we've always gotten on, we've known each other for so long, but it's like, if it weren't for the podcast, I wouldn't have an excuse to reach out and be like, hey, do you want to Zoom about our feelings for an hour? Like, right. I wouldn't. Like, you know what I mean? I have no means of controlling how or when I'm going to see you and like what that's going to be like. But it's like with this podcast and even with your podcast, even though it's just jokes, it's like whatever. And obviously a lot of big stories to tell. Mm-hmm. But it's
very
like
important stories. It, yeah.
Very important stories. But it's a great excuse to just be like, oh, I have friends. Like, what a great excuse. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, we did so many episodes during the pandemic and I just got to see people I haven't seen in years and maybe wouldn't see in years, even if this wasn't happening. And it's like, how lucky are we that like, I mean, that as cheesy as it is, we really are all in this together. Uh-huh. I mean, we really are. Nobody's been like, sorry, too busy. Can't do the podcast.
Yeah. No, God. Yes. How many podcasts can I do? How many episodes do you need me for? I'll do a season.
Paul, do you want to do a season of the Self-Esteem Party podcast? I mean, you've already been a 6, a 10, a 4, a 5. Lord only knows what you are now. I mean, really, we could really extend this out.
I shot up to 8 and then now, and then I went back down to 5 because I started getting self-conscious about, you know, just like dumping about social media. And now I'm wavering. I'm back up around 7, I think.
Okay. Wow. The 5 of the social media. Here's the thing. Don't go down about that because it's important and it really is affecting people. And I feel like not everybody's talking about it as much as they could be, the effect it is having on us and the amount that it ties into self-care. Mm-hmm. It really does. And it's like that idea of unplugging for a day, which I haven't done, but I kind of want to take on a challenge and try doing it just even one day to see.
Unplugging is good.
I mean, you're going to unplug right now from the podcast. You're like, goodbye. Unplugging is great. There goes your mic.
Unplugging.
Good day. Yeah, just so everybody knows, you can't see it. Paul has an elaborate setup in which there's loose wires hanging by his head.
Massive.
And we don't know where they go or what they do.
I don't even know what they are. They could be cable wires. I don't know. But yeah, I'm in my room with a small room where the fuse box is. There's like almost comically set deck level wires that like in the 80s you would see attached to, you know, the invention in Weird Science or something.
Listen, it works for me. It's a bold look, and it's setting me off the charts. Most of my self-esteem is based on your Zoom background.
Here's something good about the internet, though. Here's something good. I'll say this. I've been dumping on social media, but my wife's been away. So that's also kind of like affects my social media because I get lonely quickly. And yes. I get tired fast. We got, you know, my son, you've babysat him.
Yes, absolutely. I have.
A long time ago. He's a young man now. He's almost 12. And it's just, but you know, like it's just the summer, he's in camp today, which is great. Last week, no camp. And so it was just us. And he's just like, what do we do now? What do you want to do now? And I'm like, oh, I'm just getting so tired. But as soon as Christy went away, I felt it come in, felt the loneliness come in. And I went on Twitter and I just shared that. I just said, I get lonely almost right away when my wife goes away. So if you feel like it, send me a text and say hi. And people did. And it was a gratifying feeling. It was nice.
I love that. Really I nice. Love that. Yeah. Listen, it's not all bad. I agree. It makes you feel connected. I mean, this is obviously an unfortunate thing to say, but a lot of people during this time have lost someone either due to COVID or just during COVID for other reasons.
Yeah.
And it's like, you'll see a lot of people reach out on Twitter. I reach out about a GoFundMe and I don't tend to do sincere posts. And it's like, sometimes if you need love, the key is to let people love you. And unless people know you're looking for love that day, it might not always be their first instinct. Mm-hmm. 'Cause love coming out of nowhere is that it's vulnerable for the person showing love too, because you're like, well, I don't know if this person's up for receiving it. Like, you kind of have to be in the right headspace to accept love from somebody, or at least for me.
Yeah, that's true. And it's just like, I think maybe as people who want to help, it's easy to feel like, is it going to be weird if I help? Do I have to write and say, may I offer you some love? Right? Because we don't know what the boundaries are. We don't know what the protocol is anymore. It's a weird time. It's very hard to offer that across the internet to somebody. If it was somebody in the room is just like, I need help right now, and it'd be very easy to give them a hug. Well, you can't anymore. Yeah. Like you're not usually in the same space, and even if you were, it's like we're coming back to it. People have been vaccinated. It's a little better, but I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks. But yeah, it is a very new, weird territory to navigate in terms of how to support each other.
Yeah, because sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had this, it's like, I'll talk about something or say something that maybe I was kind of reluctant to talk about or say. And then because people are good friends and good people, they follow up on it. But it turns out I like really didn't actually want to talk about it, but maybe didn't realize that at the time. So it's like, that's why sometimes reaching out, like you said, in terms of boundaries, it's like, it is important because, you know, like we had to cancel the session or whatever. And I told you just that I had a grandmother that I had to see that wasn't doing so well. And it's like, people have been so sweet reaching out, asking about it. But because I don't have good updates or any updates, like depending on the day, I'm reluctant to speak about it. And it almost makes me feel a little overwhelmed because then I'm thinking about the situation, but everyone's just being nice and wonderful and great. And I'm the one that talked about it on the podcast. So I instigated the whole thing. It's more like a realization on my part where I'm like, oh wow, I kind of just got caught up in the moment. But maybe wasn't as ready to talk about it as like I thought I was, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really hard. Like when it comes to like expertise on talking about one's feelings, I am not the person to talk to. But I understand how hard it is to know or to feel like it's a good time to have those discussions. You know, I have felt in my life like, you know, I'll have brought something up. And then when it comes time, it's just like a friend. I have a very good friend who's very good at checking in, and he wants to get to the bottom of stuff. But he is almost always way more ready to go there than I am. And so, and he's just like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm okay. And he's like, tell me about okay. And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. But what's behind that? And I, and he's trying to help, and I start to feel invaded, you know, like, like I can't, I don't have the energy. I don't know how. I can't find the words to even start talking about like my feelings right now, you know? I feel like I'm veering away what we were originally talking about, but,
No, not at all. It's really, to feel caught off guard, even though, like, you know what's coming. Like, I have friends that are pushers, definitely is how I would refer to them, where they, you can't keep anything from them. They'll know when something's up. They don't leave it be and let you come around. They're like, whatever it is, talk about it now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you need that kind of, I would say, tough love from a pusher, where you're like, sometimes you need someone to get it out of you. But sometimes it can just, like you said, invasive, or feel like almost a bit of panic to it, even though it always ends up being fine.
Well, yeah, and it's also practice. Like, it's practice on my part, too. Like, it's, like, I haven't felt that as much, you know? Like, early on in our kind of friendship, I felt that much more. And now I've kind of gotten better at, you know, meeting him there. You know, I understand his intentions. And I've gotten better. I think I've probably gotten better at sharing my bad day when I'm having a bad day. And I've also gotten better at accepting that kind of support, I think.
Can I ask, as a parent, what is that relationship like with your son? Like, what is that like? Are you encouraging to talk? Do you want him to feel differently than maybe you felt growing up? Or are you like, what's that like? Because how do you navigate your own thing and then try to raise someone either the same way or a slightly different way to avoid feeling the things that you don't like feeling?
Yeah.
Like, how do you even do that? I've been a babysitter. I'm rolling in. I'm having a laugh. I'm getting right out of there. I'm leaving the hard stuff to you guys. I was not about to raise your son, Paul. I'm sorry. And I'm not now. So quit asking me on the podcast, God. Please.
Because you saw that question in my eyes every time I handed it to you.
Yeah, I went nuts.
You saw keep him in my eyes. Keep him for a day or a week.
Please.
You know what? He is better than I could have hoped for in that department. Wow. In the department of talking. And in my family, growing up, talking was not really happening. Feelings were not discussed, and family history was kept a secret. It's very difficult to, it's easy in a way to grow up in like that, in that environment, because you're ignorant of the alternative. And then you get to a point in your life where you discover that you've missed out on a certain set of skills that are integral, which is, you know, communicating your feelings. And knowing how to talk, knowing how to share information and receive information. I've really come at parenting with the goal to, you always try and make it better, right? You always try to pass on what you feel like you may not have been as good at. So you want to make sure that your kid is just a better version of you, you know? And so it's been important to me that, you know, that we really talk to him and share stuff with him. And same with Christy. Christy's so good at it. She's so good at just being casual.
I love Christy.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
I love her so much.
And she's like so good at even the very difficult conversations about being, you know, just like, yeah, casual. Like, so when I say like he's better than I could have hoped for, like there are still, like we're starting to watch stuff where as soon as like sex stuff happens in the show, there you can feel a bit of like tension in the air. You can feel like,
of course, because that know, age he's yeah, at that age it's he's at so that age. Awkward
but oh, but I'll tell you what happened like last week. So podcast is new, right? The podcast is new. Mm-hmm. He's been interested in knowing how it's going to be, because he has a YouTube channel and he gets very excited about engagement. Like, he gets on and he streams, and if he has a few viewers, he tells me about it. And he's like, Dad, most views yet. Like,
I got to get on this YouTube channel.
The YouTube channel is called Miracles Do Happen. It's usually just him and me. I haven't done it in a while, but it's usually us just streaming our soccer games, like our FIFA soccer games.
Well, now he's trying to go solo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, and I wish him luck. I wish him all the luck in the world. Anyways, so he's been very interested in the podcast. The podcast debuts about a week ago. And then I tell myself, I feel very self-conscious about it. He knows I'm feeling nervous about it. And I tell myself that I'm not going to look at anything because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be disappointed. Don't read the comments. Yeah. Don't read your own reviews. You know what I mean? I've learned that before, being on TV, stuff like that. It's hard. And then sure enough, I just check the Apple podcast and I see that somebody has negged me with a one. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe this has been a terrible idea. One single review can ruin your day, you know?
It's so true.
Yeah. And he's like, how's the podcast doing, Dad? I'm like, it's fine. He goes, well, what do you mean fine? and I'm like, it's fine. There was a bad review. And he's like, what? And I said, yeah, it's just, he goes, let me see it. and I show it to him and he reads it and he's just like, Dad, you don't have to worry about this. They are just trolling you. Let me ask you something. Anybody else talk about your podcast? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, some friends texted me and said they liked it. And he's like, there you go. There you go, Dad. Like, he is so good.
Oh, my God. He's so inspirational.
Yes. And very adult in his emotional intelligence when it comes to that, right? He worked hard to personally pick me up. It should be the other way around, but he did very well at just picking me up, putting that one review in perspective of, you know, of all the other feedback, because it's very easy for us as adults to focus in on that one piece of negative criticism.
Yes, yes.
And he did an excellent job of it. He did really well, and he made me feel so much better.
Okay, Paul, to bring it all back around, would you say he helped you move forward?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. He is the key. He is the key to help you move forward and move on.
Yeah.
Outrageous. Yeah. Wow. That's so special, especially like, and listen, I hate that sometimes gender plays into these things, but especially for a boy, it's like you don't hear that as much. I wish people did, but that's so fantastic. Like, good parenting on your part. Way to keep him in tune. He's like your friend. He's on the investigation here.
As an only child, right? Because like when we, this is something I've learned just from the experience. I grew up with a brother, but, and also from the people I know who also have just one kid, you are operating as a parent and a friend, very much. And sometimes a sibling, right? That's that relationship. It's very, you know, it's very different. And you basically do have a best friend in your kids and vice versa.
That's so cute. I wouldn't know. Listen, there was four of us growing up with my siblings and I, so no wow. room for mom or dad. Sorry, yeah, Paul. You wouldn't right. have made the cut in my family there. No time for you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Plenty busy. Good for you. Only children, you know, sometimes a little dicey, but it seems like this one really turned out.
This one is, you know, he's got a lot of time ahead to, you know, find, you know, to just go sour, but
he's going to fuck it up. We all know
it.
He's going
to fuck it up, so he's going to drop the ball somewhere, but right now he's done a very good job. He's a good kid with a good heart, which is great. It's great.
Bless that little rascal. Mm-hmm. Paul, let me see if I can remember it. You started the podcast this morning as a 6. You immediately shot up to a 10 based on a clap slate. You then went back down to a 4. You came back in at a 5. You ranged between a 5 and a 7.
Yeah.
Where are you now?
I'm sitting at an 8, a comfortable 8.
Wow. I'll take it. You know what? And I've got to be in and around the same. What a heartfelt conversation about what could be a broad topic, but really got personal. And this parenting thing just really, like, your son just sounds like such a delightful person. It, like, warmed my heart. That sounds so sweet.
He's a good kid. The only here's the flip side is that when he is with my adult friends, as I said, he's not just my son, he is also my friend. So my friends are his friends, and when we are all together, he works hard to humiliate me.
Oh wow. And there you have it. That's that's being a kid of comedians. There you go. Paul, I cannot thank you enough for joining me today. Tell us where we can find your podcast and where we can find you online.
Okay, yes. My Twitter and Instagram are baitspot9000, the dubious book of famous deeds, at famous deeds on Twitter, at famous.deeds on Instagram. That's where you'll find the pictures from the pictorial treasury of famous men and famous deeds. And the podcast is on the Sonar Network and, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcasts, even Google Podcasts, where
there you
I personally
go, guys. Expand
to them.
Expand your internet research. There you have it.
That's it.
If you guys would like to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnston on Instagram and at Alana_Johnston on Twitter. Paul, I can't thank you enough. I'm so excited for the big podcast. And by the way, we like to call Sonar Network the NAR. So feel free to take that as well.
The NAR. Yes. Thank you for having me. This has been, again, this has like warmed my heart. I'm going to carry this through my day. It's felt really good. Thanks, Alana.
Hey, thanks so much, and good luck with those loose wires.
Oh, yeah. I got to connect them and see what happens.
Believe in yourself.